such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody in TGIF, thank God it's Friday.
Hooray.
I am your brother and I share with you the distress, the endurance, and the... I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. It comes in that order for some reason. Distress, kingdom, and endurance we have in Christ Jesus. So I share that with you. And those are some of my favorite words. Thank you, Jasmine, and thanks for waking me up. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Jasmine.
As I had the children's mass this morning, so afterwards I was going through some articles, and then I went to the chapel just to pray, and it was, you know, I had the Blessed Sacrament exposed, and I went into this just wonderfully deep sleep. And then all of a sudden I heard a knock on the door, and Jasmine said, do you want me to make coffee for the radio? And I said, yeah, what time is it? Oh, you've got 2 minutes.
There you go.
So here we are. So I'm waking up here. Don't you love that when you just kind of go off into this deep sleep and then you wake up, you know, where am I?
See, people say, well, I do that on a regular sleep. Sometimes I'll wake up and say,
because you get those weird hours.
Again. Right. But I mean, my doctor says, and people say this is a good thing, to nap. But I know people that do it. They close their eyes, you know, for maybe 20 minutes and they take a nap. Me? I can't do that. If I close my eyes, it'll be 3 hours later or whatever the case may be. That's something you can't do.
It's a long nap.
But I mean, there's moments when I do, I kind of rest my eyes or I, you know, even say a rosary sometimes. And
exactly,
that puts me in a space that's like, okay, it's so deep sleep, you don't want to come back out or
you don't
kind of peace.
Come back out. Are you doing it again? It's like, what time is it? What day is it?
Yeah.
You know, I remember during the whole marathon of masses. This was right around at Christmas time and New Year's, and
I don't know how you do that.
The grace of God.
Yeah, that's
really by the grace of God.
Yeah,
but I had so this was Friday. Well, what was that?
The little thing comes on. Just push me. There you go.
Never happened before. Okay,
it looks like
I can see you better.
Ears.
You know, we got these sponges here.
Yeah,
but anyway, not sponges. What are they?
Foam.
Yeah. So we had it was an all day, you know, the Friday, was probably New Year's, I think. I don't know. But anyway, it was, so Christmas and New Year's were both on Friday.
Right.
So the masses begin the evening before, so it's 7 o'clock in the evening, and, might have been the week I had just come back. I came back from Rochester on a Thursday, don't know how I did, but by the grace of God, flew in. Had Mass at 7 o'clock, then had the midnight Mass, then had the 7 o'clock Mass in the morning, so I had just a couple of hours of sleep, then the 8:30 Mass, then the 10 o'clock Mass, then the 12:30 Mass, and I mean the 12 o'clock Mass, and then the 5:30 Mass. And then the next day, which was a Saturday before we go into this whole marathon again on Sunday, but without the midnight Mass, I had a funeral or a memorial mass at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or something. I don't remember. But anyway, so it was one of those times when I went to my room and I just dozed off again. It was just, and I don't do what you do. I don't go doze off for 30 minutes or 3 hours.
If I could sleep 30 hours, that would be great.
No, because what I do is I might have dozed off for 10 minutes. It'll be just 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
But see, I think when you're at that point where you're so tired, I mean, you'd be surprised. That little 20 minutes, and even like what you did today, it's good. It I've seen that happen because even after a while, too, if I'm up a long time, if I just nod off for 20 minutes,
it just
I feel energized.
Just re-energized.
So I see how that works.
That with an espresso and all that, But anyway, so I had drifted off, and they came to the, I got a knock on the door. I was getting ready. I was going to baptisms.
Right.
And I jumped up and I thought, oh my gosh, you know what?
Where am I?
What day is it? Did I miss the mass? What? Yeah. And they were just telling me that the baptism had been canceled, or the baptism, or it might have been one baptism they had called and canceled. So, anyway, all right. So that's a little bit of a. So I'm just thanks for giving me a few minutes here to wake up and let us pray. We'll get our prayer over here. Begin with the Angelus, always a few minutes late because we tend to be ramblers. All right, so let's pray. We'll put everything in God's hands, which is where we need to leave everything all the time.
Yep.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us sinners at the hour of our death. You just prayed that, didn't you?
Yeah, it's okay.
So I'm waking up here. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of divine grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
Pray for us.
Refuge of sinners.
Pray for us.
Comforter of the afflicted.
Pray for us.
Help of Christians.
Pray for us.
Queen of angels.
Pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs.
Pray for us.
Queen of prophets.
Pray for us.
Queen of apostles.
Pray for us.
Queen of martyrs.
Pray for us.
Queen of confessors.
Pray for us.
Queen of virgins.
Pray for us.
Queen of all saints.
Pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin.
Pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven.
Pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary.
Pray for us.
Queen of the family.
Pray for us.
Queen of peace.
Pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world.
Spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world.
Graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of life, to reject the culture of death, and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in the most powerful intercession, your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee. O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother, to thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Stanislaus Kostka,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. All right. What do you want to talk about on this this Friday?
Jump in. Did we forget any? Did we continue something we were doing yesterday?
I forgot what we did yesterday. Yeah.
But I thought that was just me.
Oh, you know, I had. By the way, a couple of people called and they were very impressed with the article or the commentary by Bishop Perry. And I don't know if I have it here. I do have it here. And they asked if. This is messages I got. I received on my desk. Mm-hmm. All I can do is they were asking where they can get this. It was on suffering in the Christian life. You might want to just okay. You know, it's actually I took it from what's called Renew America by Matt Abbott, ABB, boy. You know, B as in boy, mm-hmm. Two B's. Matt Abbott with two T's, ABBOTT. But it's Renew America on Suffering and the Christian Life by Matt Abbott, January 27th, which would have been, actually it was the day before yesterday, mm-hmm. I read it yesterday. And so what he does is he forwards the article, and it's entitled Participating in the Sacrifice of the Cross, Bishop Joseph Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, Auxiliary Bishop, Archdiocese of Chicago. So if you can download that, that would be a way to get it. Or since I've got the article right here, if you call the office, I can certainly make a copy. You can mention to Jasmine, leave an address or something, and I can make a copy, and I can send you the article. But they had a few responses, actually, that they were really impressed by the article. So, and it was really quite good. Because there's no way, you know, we're never going to escape the suffering. And even, you know, what's interesting is with all the stuff going on in the country, in the nation, and I suppose it depends on where people are at, but there is a, we are, as I say so often, passing through a diabolical disorientation where right is wrong and wrong is right. In fact, you know what, I'm just going to go right into this. Let me find it here, too. So as I've been preparing for the, did I even bring it?
But that's the thing to think about, too. Right, it's nice to hear, even, you know, especially priests and homilies, and I can only speak for you because I, you know, attend St. Stan's here, but, you know, whether it's bishops or, you know, auxiliary bishops or, you know, priests in general, just giving us an idea or knowing what actually people are feeling, what people are thinking. It's like the confusion, the where do we turn? You know, so I mean, it's not a matter, and you, there will people say this, that, oh, well, you know, they're brainwashing you or they're telling you what to think and all this kind of garbage. But the thing is, it's good to hear people understanding, priests understanding. And a good priest does this because you know the parishioners, you know the people, you're in confessions, you hear the stories, you know.
Well, we've got, like I was telling the kids this morning, we had our student mass this morning, which I'm very proud of our students because they're just you don't hear them come in, you don't hear them leave.
That's good.
They just have a sense that they're in sacred space, and and they, you know, in the beginning, because right now they have to receive on the hand, and we do, of course, here we kneel at the altar rail, which I think is just there's two things that I truly believe in a very personal way that would be two keys to the renewal of the faith, the reform of the faith, and that is, as I mentioned many times before, that the church or that the priest celebrate the Mass ad orientem, which means facing the east. So he's facing not away from the people, but his back is to the people, so he's facing away from the people, but it's not to emphasize that he's facing away from the people, but toward the Father as the people are facing together with the priest, toward the Father, offering the holy sacrifice, and to reemphasize, you know, because this is how we properly participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
It's interesting. I think I take that for granted.
You know, I do too.
I really do.
But I do too.
When explain it that way, and now that's something I even will focus on more when, you know, I'm at Mass. But that's such a beautiful, you know, most people think, oh, he's got his back to us. Boy, he really doesn't care about
but
us.
They but they don't think that, though. Well, the thing is, people who argue against that.
Right.
But as soon as we've been doing this for 3 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had a Mass facing the people in 3 years.
But see, it's the thing that I said when I maybe the last time I was, the thing I find myself, again, if you come into a situation where you want to get offended or you want to, you know, not understand something and you don't want to do it because, well, he's got his back to us. In faith, you do something and then you realize the meaning, how meaningful it is. And that's what I mean. It's one of those moments, even in church last week, I had one of those moments where it's like, wow, I've been hearing this over and over again and not really understanding it till that day.
Right. You mentioned that.
You know, it's the same thing.
Well, see, the thing about the ad orientem, which means facing the east, because Jesus will come from the east, as we understand biblically speaking, but even if your church, now our church is facing the east, so it is very appropriate. And it used to be that churches were built facing the east for that, and because as The priest facing the people is, as a bishop wrote not too long ago, is a novelty. It's only been around since the Second Vatican Council. Mm-hmm. So it's, what, a little over 50 years. But prior to that, the priest always was facing either east or facing toward the crucifix, toward the tabernacle. But the idea is that the priest, the pastor or priest, being the shepherd, is offering the holy sacrifice in persona Christi. It's Jesus acting in and through the priest, because Jesus really is the only priest. He's the supreme high priest. So our priesthood is a priesthood lived in the priesthood of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. And so the Lord is Jesus is priest and sacrifice. He offers himself, the living sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to the Father, a sacrifice pleasing to the Father for the atonement, in atonement for the sins of the people. And so, but the priest is, he's in persona Christi, but he's also in there in the presence of the church he's standing in as a representative of the church, but leading the church, the people. So all of us are facing toward the same. We're all facing in the same direction, offering the prayer, offering the sacrifice. And again, how do we participate? And if I can just make people, when I say make people, because it's. That's part of the scandal of the day, is that many Catholics don't understand, or they're either ignorant, or they've never been taught, or they've been ill taught in an improper way, so that maybe a priest, when it comes to the Mass, it's more centered around the people rather than. As I mentioned to the kids, and they get it again, I probably mentioned it before, but it's a sacred drama. It's a living drama. And in a drama, you've got a principal character, and who is that character? And they know the answer. It's Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And who are the other characters? The Blessed Virgin Mary, the communion of saints, the angels, and of course we, people on the journey. We're still this side of death. We're in the work of life. We're in the mission by virtue of baptism. That's the Mass is missio. Mass means mission. So the kids, they know that. And we're all characters in the story, but we offer our lives in union with Christ, the principal character. And who's the only spectator but the Father? So everything is directed through Christ, in and through Christ, for Christ and with Christ, to the Father. Every prayer that we pray, whether we're conscious of it or not, is directed to the Father in and through Jesus Christ. You know, so that gesture, the priest offering the sacrifice ad orientem, toward the east, or toward the crucifix, or toward it's really being directed to the Father, who will send the Son. So that's one thing, you know, and again, I just want to emphasize how it's the one thing I have to say quite honestly, you know, because people will complain about a lot of things, you know, because a few times I've done the Mass in Latin, mm-hmm. and that's where you get some pushback, you know, people say, I prefer it in the vernacular, And I have no problem with the vernacular, but I do like very much the Latin. And
we
so
I, do it in the parts again, like we did.
Well, we do some of the parts in Latin. Yeah. Even on the weekdays, I usually do certain parts in the Latin. But I would do the whole Eucharistic prayer, the Roman mm-hmm. canon, in Latin, and it's a very beautiful one. Some people absolutely love it. Other people, it's very confusing to mm-hmm. them. They says, you know, they don't. They prefer it in the vernacular, so you know we can go this way or that way, but we will you know from time to time we do it in Latin. But there was a point there I was every the first Sunday of the month, right. I would do it in Latin up until we had the pandemic, and then because we started the live streaming, I've been doing it in Latin. But we do parts of the Kyrie eleison, which is really Greek. Mm-hmm. We do that. We do the Sanctus in Latin usually, and the Agnus Dei, and the great Amen. Mm-hmm. So there's a few parts we normally do in Latin. But the other thing is the kneeling at the altar rail.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the ad audientem. It's just intuitively people, that's the one thing they had. I didn't get any complaints. I think I had one complaint, with regard to the fact that it's like you turn your back to us. Mm-hmm. That was only one. Everybody else, intuitively, they seem to understand. And so I do it at, every mass, weddings, funerals, mm-hmm. whatever. So certainly when you have a funeral or a wedding, you got people coming from who are maybe for the first time at this parish and experience that maybe for the first time in mm-hmm. their lives. And intuitively, inevitably, if I go to the cemetery or maybe after the mass, somebody will say to me, "Wow, that makes so much sense."
Yeah.
Or some people say, "I haven't been to an old mass." When they say the old mass, they're talking mm-hmm. about the pre-Vatican mass. I said, "The mass is the mass. This is the Novus Ordo. This isn't the extraordinary form. It's the ordinary form, or the Novus Ordo, and the mass as it was." I use the word reform. I don't like the word reform. That wouldn't be a proper word to use because the mass is the mass. Mm-hmm. But certain adaptations were made to the mass. And in essence, the mass is a mass. If you go to one or the other, it's the mass is the mass. But it's how we pray the mass, that we don't de-emphasize. But we emphasize the principal character of the Mass, and that is Jesus Christ. We come in gratitude and humility to bend our knees at the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. through Jesus to the Father. And so but people who haven't experienced that, they intuitively understand and they'll often say, "Wow, it's like a..." Like we're really praying it with the priest. The priest isn't looking at us, but the sense that this is a prayer that is directed to God, and we're there with the priest offering our lives. Now they may not say it like that, but that's what they're trying to imply. But St. Paul said, and this is. Talk about things that just kind of click in your mm-hmm. head, and I might have mentioned that just the other day. But again, the St. Paul says we offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. That right there is how we properly participate in the Mass. We come in gratitude because we are God's creation, because we've been redeemed and saved by God, the second person of the Trinity, that God the Father sent his only begotten Son to redeem us, that he would offer himself in atonement for our sins, to redeem us, save us from our slavery to sin and death, where we've yet to die. We're still on the way, still on the journey. We're the militant church in the battle, and we are still sinners. And so that's why as we begin the Mass, we acknowledge the fact that we are sinners. And before we receive Holy Communion, this is after having offered our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, our spiritual worship. And yet we know we're not really holy and pleasing to the Lord because we know our defects, we know our rough edges, we know our sinfulness. We're not in grave sin, otherwise we don't receive communion. But what do we say before we receive? "Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof. Say but only the word, and my soul shall be healed." You know, as a priest says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who come to the supper of the Lamb, who are welcome or come to the supper of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. So, but those two gestures, the ad orientem, facing the east, and that we receive on our knees, and people have the option. They don't have to. Some people can't kneel because mm-hmm. of the situation with their knees. But at the altar rail, and the beautiful thing about that is, and the first time we did it, and forgive me, people, I know I'm repeating myself, and I must have said this before, but the first time we did, we reinstated the altar rail, and I gave people the option, and as you know, 98% of the people kneel yeah. to receive. The first thing, a couple of things that caught my attention immediately. Number one is that here is the body of Christ side by side, standing, not just coming in line, but they're kneeling there side by side. So there's this sense of this communion, this body of Christ, as people are there on their knees side by side. Plus, they have a chance, they have an opportunity to pause and reflect on who it is they're receiving. You know, it's not just being in walking up in line, but they're you're really close, so you can look at the altar of repose, the Blessed Sacrament, the tabernacle. I mean, there's just something about that close proximity, not in a rush, but in a moment to pause and to receive. And then the other thing is, I thought of the 30 Ethiopians who, at the time we started that, it was not too long after they were all martyred, and they were all kneeling side by side in Libya? I think it was in Libya. But these were Ethiopians who were the Muslims. They were Christians, probably Coptic Christians. But they were kneeling side by side, one after another, martyred by Islamic terrorists. What were they called?
Boko Haram.
These were the Islamic terrorists. I guess it was just
Al-Qaeda?
Not Al-Qaeda. The Islamic terrorists.
Right.
Well, they were doing all the beheading and all that. Mm-hmm. This was at a period that, especially during the previous, not the Trump administration, mm-hmm. but it really was a major issue during the when President Obama was in the office. President Trump brought an end to that.
Mm-hmm.
The Islamic terrorist, you know, I don't think about it.
They'll come to you.
Yeah. Anyway, but that I thought of that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it's a humble posture, and you think of Scripture that at the name of Jesus, all knees will bend. So those are two gestures, I think, in the liturgy. If we were to just do that, those two, along with some other things as well, it would really, I think, be a great movement toward the reform and the renewal of the sacred liturgy, and bring people intuitively to rediscover the great sublime mystery of our faith, and that is that we truly receive Jesus in Holy Communion, his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity. So, all right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supporter Wins a Change, name 750 WNDZ.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent on Winds of Change. Join us at noon weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors, the Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means
back,
of
everybody.
Almsgiving.
Thanks for being with us. I want to share with you a little. This is an article, an interview. Actually, it's an interview, and I'm reading it. Again, I read it right before I came down, before I kind of dozed off there, and so I didn't finish it. You know, just one of those little, what do you say, 10-minute naps or something,
naps.
Where you just go deep into
power,
sleep. And
power naps.
Power nap. I always need it after I'm with the kids, you know, because they just really, but they're great. Mm-hmm. The students are great. This is from the Catholic World Report. It's actually a reprint of an interview that was done just the other day by Cardinal Mueller, who discusses President Biden, pro-abortion politicians, and the bishops. And what he says is he says that now the United States, with its conglomerated political, media, and economic power, stands at the head of the most subtly brutal campaign to de-Christianize Western culture in the last 100 years. So he says anyone who relativizes the clear acknowledgement of the sacredness of every human life with tactical games, sophistries, and window dressing because of political preferences publicly opposes the Catholic faith. He was speaking about the abortion advocacy of the new United States President Joe Biden, who is a member of the Catholic Church. He says now the it's an interview done by CathNet. This is, I think, from Germany, perhaps. So it's been translated into English, and I'm taking it from the Catholic World Report. But he's asked, for instance, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has expressed strong criticism of the pro-abortion policies of the new president, Joe Biden. On the other hand, a few bishops voiced their view that the USCCB's critique of Biden was unwise, including Blaise Cardinal Tsupich of Chicago, our own Chicago cardinal, and who thought it was, let's see if I've got his quote here, an ill, he suggested that in Twitter, I guess, that this was an ill-considered statement on the occasion of the new president's inauguration. And so the Cardinal Mueller was asked, do you see the USCCB critique as justified, or are the bishops exaggerating? And Cardinal Mueller says that a Catholic bishop is distinguished from power politicians and ideologues by his obedience to the revealed word of God. He would be a false apostle if he relativized the natural moral law for the sake of his political preference or because he favored one party or the other. Every human being recognizes the demands of the natural law in his conscience because of his reason. When those who held political and religious power in the time of the apostles tried to forbid them to proclaim Christ's teaching under the threat of punishment, the latter replied, meaning the apostles, we must obey God rather than men. So anyone who relativizes the clear acknowledgement of the sacredness of every human life with tactical games, sophisteries, and window dressing because of political preferences publicly opposes the Catholic faith. Vatican II and all the popes down to Francis have described the deliberate killing of a child before or after birth as a most grievous violation of God's commandments. And USCCB President Archbishop Gomez declared to President Joe Biden in his clear opinion, as Pope Francis teaches, we cannot stay silent when nearly a million unborn lives are being cast aside in our country year after year through abortion. What is the Church's teaching on abortion? God, the Lord of life, has entrusted to men the noble mission of safeguarding life, and men must carry it out in a manner worthy of themselves. Life must be protected with the utmost care from the moment of conception. Abortion and infanticide are abominable crimes. This is taken right from the Second Vatican Council, that quote. President Biden has presented himself not only on the day of his inauguration as a believing, practicing Catholic. The question is, how credible is that, in your view? This is directed to Cardinal Mueller, given his long series of pro-choice declarations and his official statement on the 48th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion, quote unquote, in the past 4 years, reproductive health, including the right to choose, has been under relentless and extreme attack, and also his announcement that his administration will massively support abortion in the United States and worldwide, even financially. And the cardinal responded, well, there are good Catholics even in the highest Vatican positions who, in their blind anti-Trump sentiments, put up with everything or play down what is now being unleashed in the United States of America against Christians and all people of goodwill. Now, with the United States, with its conglomerated political, media, and economic power, stands at the head of the most subtly brutal campaign to de-Christianize Western culture in the last 100 years. They play down the lives of millions of children who now fall victim to the worldwide organized abortion campaign under the euphemism of right to reproductive health by referring to Trump's character faults. An otherwise highly respected convert reproached me. He said, saying that I must not fixate on abortion, for now that Trump has been voted out, this eliminates the much greater danger that madman might push the nuclear button. I am convinced, however, that individual and social ethics has priority over politics. It crosses a line when the faith and morals are reckoned by a political calculus. I cannot support a pro-abortion politician just because he builds public housing as though I had to put up with what is absolutely evil on account of something relatively good. I don't know if you're able to follow me on that, but the point is that, as I say, this is an interview. Let me just see if I can extrapolate some of the other points here. Okay, one second, Nick. Well, the question is that there are bishops who say publicly that Biden, on account of his public statements and actions with regard to abortion, is not in full communion with the Catholic Church. and he quoted a few bishops from Denver, from the former Archbishop of Philadelphia, Charles Chaput, who support the idea that at this time Biden should not receive communion. In contrast, Wilton Cardinal Gregory, Archbishop of Washington, D.C., said that he would not deviate from the current practice of allowing Biden continued access to the reception of communion. They said, how do you evaluate this, asking the cardinal? And he says, even among Catholics, the absurd opinion has crept in that faith is a private affair and that in public life you can tolerate, approve, and promote something that isn't intrinsically evil. Concretely, in practice, the Christian in a legislature or a government might not always succeed in adopting the natural moral law on all points, but they must never participate in evil actively or passively. At least they must protest against it as far as they can, oppose it, even if they suffer discrimination as a result. Let's see here. Anyway, it goes on and on. I don't want to. The point is that this rescinding the legislature or the legislation that we would not support the funding of abortions. It's been rescinded. In other words, we revert back to the former policy that we would advocate and support abortions worldwide. Our nation would finance abortions, not only in this nation but worldwide. That is quite chilling, to be honest. Yeah. We'll see what else happens.
One of the executive orders, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
You know, and so it's hard to what's hard to understand is how one can how do we lose our sensitivity to life? You know, it's one thing to support and we should support a woman's reproductive health, but when we're talking about abortion, we're talking about a life. We're talking about a human right, that child's right to life, mm-hmm. and to dismiss outright the right of the most innocent of all. You're talking about 60 million in our nation alone, just in our lifetime, is quite appalling. Nick says we have to take a break. We'll take a final break. We'll come back and wrap up. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to Listener Support Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDC.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent on Winds of Change. Join us at noon weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
This Lent, let's you and I work on taming our tongues. Chapter 3 of James tells us that the tongue is a tiny part of the body, yet is a whole wicked world in itself. James says that nobody can tame the tongue. It is a pest that will not keep still, full of deadly poison. We use it to bless our Lord and Father, but we also use it to curse men who are made in God's image. Well, true, none of us can tame our tongue on our own, but we can count on the power of the Holy Spirit to come to our aid in this very good intention if we but ask for His help and make a sincere effort to always think and speak well of each other and to build each other up. Let's live love. God will help us. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up today. I'm going to conclude with this. This is my reflections for this weekend based on the readings. But I do believe that we're suffering a crisis of authority throughout the world. And so let me just go through this. Because people often, they say, where do we go? Who do we to whom do we turn? People, there's just a lot of confusion out there. Mm-hmm. And so let me just share with this with you as we wrap up. Hopefully I can get through the whole thing. We're going to hear in the first reading this Sunday, in the fulfillment of God's promise to Moses, or the fulfillment, rather, of God's promise to Moses, that God will raise up for us a great prophet unlike any other, has already been realized in Jesus Christ. And the promise is none other than God's visitation. We've just celebrated the Feast of Christmas. Coming in the likeness of man, anyone who perverts or distorts the message or rebukes the messenger will be dealt with harshly. This is a biblical fact, a reality. If there's no repentance, We must be aware of false prophets who tamper with God's law, God's word, God's mercy, God's justice. We'll listen to the psalmist this Sunday, who reminds us that we are the people of God. We are cautioned not to harden our hearts, but rather remain receptive to the sound of God's voice. We are to acclaim that He is the rock of our salvation. To Him we bow down in worship, and to Him we bend our knees. We are the people He shepherds, the flock He leads. In the second reading, St. Paul expresses his desire that we be free of anxieties, and people are just full of anxieties today. But St. Paul says, be free of all anxiety. In this world, this is impossible unless, as St. Paul says, we remain anxious about the things of God. In other words, we must abandon certain things that keep us from cleaving to Christ, who is the source of our peace in a troubled world, a world that brings affliction to our mind, our body, our soul, and our spirit. Cleaving to Christ through prayer and adherence to the commandments of God will be our protection from unclean spirits. Now, speaking of unclean spirits, last week I spoke of a Luciferian spirit gripping large segments of our population. Luciferian refers to the prince of darkness, the father of lies, the prince of this world who deceives, seduces, creates an illusion, and accuses. We are being what's been called gaslighted as never before, and unless we turn our lives completely over to Christ, holding nothing back, we succumb to the falsehood. Gaslighting is a form of psychological manipulation in which a person or an institution seeks to sow seeds of doubt in a targeted individual or in members of a targeted group, making them question their own memory, their own perception, their own sanity. And that's how a lot of people are feeling this way, you know. Part of this cancel culture is to cancel out memory, you know. Where have we come from? Who are we? And to confuse us as to what we're perceiving, to toy with our sanity. It seems to me that many families, our nation, and the whole world are in need of an exorcism, much as we read in the Gospel of Mark this Sunday, And elsewhere throughout Scripture, in the Gospel, you'll hear that a man was possessed by an unclean spirit. When Jesus comes on the scene, the spirit cries out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." At that, Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. And everyone was amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." So I suggest that what's needed in our day is leadership imbued with the very authority of Christ. For too long, we've rebuked God, and we've opened ourselves to unclean spirits. We try to befriend the world, so to speak. We're putting God to the test. To God, we have hardened our hearts. The world is inverted. We're passing through a diabolical disorientation. What is right is wrong. What is wrong is right. Truth is being usurped by falsehood. Science is usurped by the whims and fancies of whatever tickles the ear. Those are words taken right out of the Scripture. Mm-hmm. The whims and fancies of whatever tickles the ear. I say science is usurped by this, so that if I tell you that I'm a man believes he's a woman believes she's a man, and you know what, you get the point. You know, we're subjected to this all the time. The societal rebuke of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, fully revealed in Jesus, and we have to be very clear about what God we're talking about, has resulted in the rebuking of this God has resulted in a plethora of gods asserting themselves, and we easily succumb, like the man with the unclean spirit in the Gospel. The gods with a little g know the Holy One of God has the authority to destroy them, so they aggressively take hold of our people through deception, seduction, illusions, and accusations. We must pray that God raise up for us people after his own heart, imbued with his authority. We're running out of time here, but I just think of Pope John Paul II, who emanated the authority of Christ when he was raised to the chair of Peter. And you intuitively felt the power of Christ's authority, you could lean into him, and you knew you were leaning into Christ. And Mother Teresa was another one on the world stage. We need God to raise up for us leaders such as Pope John Paul II, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. The elites of this world cowered in the presence of these two great saints who stood against the spirit of the world and helped us open ourselves fearlessly to the Spirit of God. So I have to leave it there for now, but we'll come back to this on Tuesday when we're back, God willing. Everybody, have a really nice weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. The time.